also in the Gold Essential Buddhist Prayers book. Turn to page 34. 34. And you'll see a mantra at the top of the page above the words daily prayers, and that's the Shakyamuni Buddha mantra. I'll be chanting that three times. If you don't have the gold book, you have the white binder, then go to the first page that says Kadapa Center Prayers, and you'll see the Shakyamuni Buddhist mantra at the top. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. And now let's read the four measurables in English one time, in the middle of the page. May all sentient beings have happiness and the cause of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now turn to page 37, and we'll chant the four measurables chanting version toward the bottom of the page, and in the white binder, we'll chant the words by the music notes. Sen chen tam che de wa dong de we gyu dong den pa ju chi du below that, you see Chenrezig's mantra and Green Tara's mantra. So let's chant Chenrezig's mantra eight times, the mantra of great compassion, and then Green Tara seven times. She's the deity of enlightened activity. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om tare tu tare tu re soha. 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 Okay, let's try children are welcome to go to their classes. Thank you.
Good morning. couple of minutes meditation, silent meditation. Oh, thank you. So, please, would you mind take one moment to introduce yourself to each other? Thank you. I don't know if Mike's ready. Mike is ready. So, okay. maybe like last Sunday, you know, people say things. So, what is meditation? So you are welcome to say, please, you are welcome to say, what is meditation? How do we meditate? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so how do we meditate? Second topic, why we meditate? Please. If anybody wants to contribute, yeah, please, yeah. So, more like, you know, discussions, more like discussions.
I was just talking about that with the gentleman next to me in the introduction there. I meditate, well, I'm a veteran, and I got into meditation because of, you know, my mind tends to work a little quickly, you know, and I've noticed that for me, meditation is basically getting into the present moment, you know, staying in the present moment, not letting yourself get caught up in your thoughts, you know. The way I do that, I've been doing it for about a year and a half, almost 2 years now. I do it with the breath, visualization, I do isometrics, different types that I've learned, like little by little. I use some apps as well. There's a Headspace app that I've been using. And I've noticed that it's not really about self-improvement. Because if you think it's about self-improvement, you're not staying in the present moment. So you get kind of caught up in those thoughts of okay, you get kind of anxiety about having anxiety, you know, while you're meditating. So I try not to think of it that way anymore. I just try to stay in the present moment, you know, enjoy the meditation, actually, you know, just kind of stay in the moment.
Oh, wonderful. No pressure. No pressure. So, I think probably kind of like every day I'm talking, just listening. So probably sometimes I like to also listen.
Hi. It's mind training. It's, as you say, it's being familiar with your mind, I think is how you said it. Mm-hmm. And like the previous person said, it's well, I mean, there's different kinds of meditation, but, you know, in a way it's just not... I lost my thought. In some ways, it's you could have analytical meditation reviewing concepts, like you said, or focusing on something, which is helpful, or focusing on the breath. Mm. You know, it's not just sitting there and thinking of nothing, and it's not chicken meditation.
Mm.
So you're not just being passive in a way. It's active, even if you look like you're doing nothing.
So maybe I should take a nap. Maybe people are getting nervous. Maybe I should take a nap. You know, like every Sunday, like, quite a number of people come here. So I'm 100% sure that you have something to contribute. But so, Father, what do you think about this kind of discussion? What do you think? Is it good? It's good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then more people need to contribute. So, like, what is meditation? You know, why we meditate and how do we meditate? Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, no, we are like here like friends. I'm a friend, you know. There's no like, oh, mistake, no mistake, not to worry, just, you know, share your experience, that's all.
I'd say for me, and it depends on the kind of meditation, but one would be certainly to learn to stay in the present and cultivate a state of mind where I'm not constantly dwelling on the past or worrying about the future, to help me in my real life situations that I'm in, and also to develop different states of mind like compassion or seeing how I can be of use to others or better preparing myself to be in a mind state to want to be empathetic or sympathetic to the people around me and help other people around me through different meditations like this Medicine Buddha meditation or compassion meditation. Those meditations would, the more I do them, would help me to cultivate that mind state.
Wonderful, yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I started doing meditation for anxiety, mm-hmm. and now I had to learn how to do it for pain relief. Because mm-hmm. if I'm calm, I have less pain, even if it's a migraine or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then do Tonglen helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. When I can get myself to be somewhat consistent with meditation, which is a bit of a challenge sometimes, but if I'm able to get my mind to calm down and to slow the speed of the traffic going through my mind, which is kind of like the traffic in India at best, it's pretty crazy. But once I kind of get things to just slow down enough, I'm able to, there's almost like I don't know, I really don't know how to express it, but there's like a wisdom or a knowledge or something that a feeling or a presence that kind of comes through that enables me to handle situations in a calmer, more wise way than I otherwise would, because I'm getting bombarded with emotions or thoughts. And so when that kind of settles down, it's like when the dust settles, you can start seeing things clear. So that's my minute experience.
Very good, wonderful. Yeah.
I find that I'm no good at sitting on a cushion and trying to meditate, or not for long. So my usual practice every day is to take about a 45-minute walk. And because I go on usually almost the same route, there's nothing to think about as far as where to go. It's just putting one foot in front of the other, and it has a calming effect. And I think clears disturbances from the mind in the way we talk about so often when, you know, about sitting on a cushion and just breathing. But it can happen while you're just walking along on a familiar route, enjoying the sights of nature or seeing the sky. And that's my practice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so please don't think that I'm playing hooky. So yeah.
To be honest, I kind of struggle with meditation.
Mm.
I'm always wondering, should I be counting?
Mm.
And then I tell myself, don't think about counting. Focus on your breath. And then like another thought creeps in. And sometimes if I do it for like 10 minutes, maybe I feel like I'm in the present moment, maybe 30 seconds at best. Just to be honest, I kind of struggle with it.
Yeah, that's very good. 30 seconds. Yeah. So now probably it's my turn. So the reason I, you know, like, put out there these three topics, so it's quite important. So you come here not to, you know, because you have nothing to do. You have probably so many things to do at home, or you can at least sleep, you know. So you come all the way down here. You know, it's not easy to get here, you know. Go round and round. So I'm just, you know, just curious, you know, like. From like, not from my experience point of view, I have no experience at all, but you know, from like my knowledge, you know, basically based on Buddhism, from their point of view, so what is meditation? What is meditation? So just want to share with you, okay? What is meditation? Meditation is to make our mind familiar with something that we are not familiar. Make sense? Familiar. It's something that we are not familiar. Gom means, you know, gom, that's meditation. Gom, there's com, that's like making familiar with something, That is the definition of meditation. So, from the, why we meditate, from my Buddhist knowledge point of view, why we meditate, it all comes down to happiness. It all comes down to happiness. Right? Regardless, you are Buddhist, not Buddhist, believer, not believer, Tibetan, American, Asian, doesn't matter. We all looking for happiness. So when you think about happiness, there's two types of happiness. Physical happiness, mental happiness. Physical happiness, almost everybody enjoys, you know, different degrees, depend on like resource or, you know, like country that you live in. Basically, seeing something beautiful makes you happy, you know, smelling something nice makes you happy, eating something, you know, like, for example, like a warm chocolate chip cookie from Whole Foods. Not a cold one, warm one. Makes you kind of happy, temporarily. And like touching something soft, you know, these are all physical happiness. Heavily dependent on object. Heavily dependent on object. Long as object is there, it will be there. When you go to Nepal, there's no whole food. If you're holding very tightly on warm chocolate chip cookie, you are not going to find there. That happiness is gone. That pleasure is gone. Because these are considered as a physical happiness. So then mental happiness, you don't need, it's not dependent on the object, you just think. You just, by producing happiness by thinking. You know, by thinking. So physical happiness, you know, then there's physical problems can be solved, you know, doing exercise or maybe eating some kind of like healthy food, all of that, you know. And the mind is more complicated. We all have mind, not just, or only monks and nuns, they have mind. It's not like that. We all have mind. Mind? We all think. We all think. So that's kind of complicated, because that part of the world is kind of, it's not just kind of complicated, it's very complicated. So, all kind of thought, all kind of thought pops up, all kind of thoughts, you know? Loving thought, you know, like caring thought, compassion thought, these are all good. When it arises, and you are calm. You are calm. Other hand, jealousy, anger, pride, arrogance, all of that. This is our thought. It's not like something outside. It's our thought. So, now the question is, each time when I'm jealous, am I happy? Each time when I get angry, am I happy? Just forget about religion. Just forget about religions. As a person, are you happy when you get jealous, when you get angry? Are you happy? It's not happy. If your answer is, I'm not happy, it's nothing to do with the physical. It's mental things. It's mental things. So now the question is, you know, how to stop that kind of thought? How to stop? From Buddhist point of view, the purpose of meditation is a big goal. It's not just, you know, I'm not saying it's wrong, you know, to be present, be calm. This is all good. From the Buddhist point of view, the meditation has bigger goals. To liberate ourselves from those disturbing thoughts. Free ourselves from the disturbing thought. Or at least, you know, reduce them or minimize them. That's the purpose of meditation, why we meditate. Does it make sense? So, you know, sorry to say, but it's not easy. there's no medicine to get rid of anger. There's no medicine. Even though you have like pharmacy, like, what do you call it? Core? There's a number of pharmacies. CVS, that's the one where I go, CVS. And there's another one, it's called Core. K something.
Carter.
Pharmacy. And Walgreens. There's a lot of medicine. When you go there, there's no medicine for how to get rid of anger. You know, if there's medicine, then you need to find in America, first on the planet, it has to be here. If it's not here, then there's nowhere else. What do you do? How we stop anger? Then meditation on patience, practicing patience become critical. It's very good. if you practice patience, it's very good. It is beneficial. It's beneficial. It's very good. Why is it good? Because it will protect your peace of mind. You will not lose your peace of mind. How to do that? So this is just example, you know. So then I will come back to, you know, certain people. He makes some kind of your like contribution. I will talk about that. There's something they need to think, you know, throughout the day, not like once the blue moon. You know. For example, anger. Why we get angry? Because we have desire. That's why. If we have no desire, we'll never get angry. We'll be happy all the time. Am I making any sense? You know? Because of desire, that's why we have problems. We have complications with the people, with the friend, with the house, with the co-worker, and with different tradition, different religion, different culture, different race, we have problems. Not because of the physical body, no, because of our mind. So, for example, like so now the way to meditate, you know, how first need to learn what is patience, and what is anger. So one of the Indian masters wrote a book many centuries ago. It's called Guide to Buddhist Way of Life. Chapter number 6, I sometimes jokingly say, there's a Buddhist management, anger management program. But it isn't called that, I just made it up. Not the books, the book I didn't made it up, is all written like many centuries ago. Because we have desire, nothing wrong, everybody has, everybody has desire. Two types of desire. Desire to want something, right? And desire to not want something. Make sense? How you say in proper English, two types of desire. One is wanting something. Oh, I want this, I want to go here, not, I want to go to Shilly Lake, not Lake Lean. Both of them are lake, but it has to be Shilly Lake, you know, like that desire. You know? Oh, I like pizza, not from the Domino, but it has to be Papa John. This is Papa John pizza. That's very important, Papa John pizza. Not every pizza doesn't help make me happy, has to be Papa John. I know we have desired wanting something and not wanting something to desire. Then there's like, how you say, obstacles. Interruptions taking place between those two desires. Let's just say your friends, oh, you are thinking, oh, I want to go to Shilly Lake, and the person says, oh, how about let's go to Lake Lynn? No, I'm not going to Lake Lynn. There's no obstacle, there's obstacles taking place between you and your desire. Your desire to go to Shilly Lake, now that person wants to go to Lake Lynn. Like that, no. So, that is the fuel for anger. See, it's clear? There's a fuel, or food. There's a fuel. Midday chetan devayi, so. Keche pale jujurba, imi deve se nyene. I'm just quoting the books, the written by Shantideva, chapter number 6. I'm just quoting the books, okay, so. There's something to think about, no, daily basis, no, how we get angry, no, and sometimes really, really angry, no, how we get angry. Oh, we have two types of desire. There's some kind of obstacles taking place between your desire. Oh. Then you found the fuel for anger. When the interruption taking place, we don't rely heavily on compassion. We don't rely on patience. We don't rely on, oh, it doesn't matter, you know, both of them, my leg, silly leg, leg lean, both legs. So my whole purpose is to walk. If your purpose is just to walk, you can walk in both legs, you know, doesn't matter. Not the leg, leg. Both leg, not leg, not leg, both leg. Silly leg, lean leg. So that has to be religion things. You can have something very practical. It's really worth it to sacrifice my peace of mind, not able to let it go, shilling leg. I think it's not worth it. We can think. We are human. We can think. That's not how we rely on. Whenever interaction taking place, we don't rely on compassion, loving kindness, patience. We don't rely on that, generally speaking. Where we rely on anger, frustration, anger. We find the food or fuel for anger. Where we rely on, we don't rely on compassion, loving kindness. Oh, I really love my friend. Oh, doesn't matter if he wants to go or she wants to go to Lakeland. For me, it's not that big deal. Going with flow. Or let it go. It's not that important as our mind projected. It's not that important. Can go either way, you know. And also it gets complicated. You know, say here in the West, you say, oh, you have to express your feeling. You have to express your feeling. Maybe not necessarily true in the circumstance, all the, every time is not necessarily true. Maybe you can hold your, how do you say, emotions. Maybe that's a way to digest them without hurting yourself. Why you make so very big deal out of that, you know? Why you get fired between going leg, lean and shield leg? It doesn't make really sense. Or somebody says, I'll put it here. No, it has to be exactly here. My whole happiness is built on here. It has to be here. It's not that important. Why? You know, as I usually say, you know, in the kitchen, I said, you know, oh, certain drawer, that you put all the glass. Certain drawer, they put, you put mug, not glass like this, you put it there. That's where it goes. We just made it up. Nobody makes rules. No government didn't make the rules. Oh, you have to put this here. If you don't put it there, we are going to tax you X amount of money. Mm-hmm. So when you come down, you see all mixed up, you know, all clear glass downstairs. Not downstairs. Not downstairs. Like I said, lower door, all the mugs up there. Not all of them, all mixed up. Open that. That's happiness. That's not happiness. That's how we lose our peace of mind. That's how we lose. That's really important. It's really important. Is that important? Or your peace of mind is more important? We don't analyze. So we heavily rely on something. Basically, anger. See? Shedang tetes. Da jumpso, da means yourself, destroyed, completely destroyed. That's the result. That's the result. If you rely on anger, yourself, completely destroyed. Da jumpso. Who said? Sannideva. Not me. I'm just repeating here. Is that true? It's very, very true. It's very, very true. It's not just about religion. It's very true. You have experience. I have experience. You know, so I have one persimmon tree, the fruit. I have two of them in my backyard. They produce hundreds of fruits every year. The source of my, I lose my peace of mind quite often based on the tree. See, like, it's wonderful. It produces hundreds of fruits, you know, like fruit. Then you like, yeah, because now you are tired. It's my tree. is my tree, my fruit, I have to protect. So then, you know, like, spend all kinds of things, like putting like the fence around and putting something, buy something, then spray, has the pepper spray. You buy something, they say all kinds of things, you put through something, doesn't help. That's the beginning of, that's the beginning of, how is it? Beginning of,
beginning of the end.
Huh?
Beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end of your happiness. It's a challenge for everybody, not just you, you know, it's a challenge for, even for monks, you know. I say my prayer, every day I say my prayer, you know, going downstairs, say prayer, but not every, all the time I focus, but not sometimes I do things, you know, most of the time I just, everybody else. They walk around, then through the glass I see the branch is moving quite heavily. Squirrel, there, yeah, squirrel. Where's prayer? There's no prayer. There's no prayer. Where's your mind? It's not here. It's over there. And like, oh, really, like, not like, wow, wonderful, you're eating my fruit. That's very great, you know, so I was so happy that, you know, somebody's eating my fruit beside me. I'm so happy because I pray all the time. May all sentient beings have happiness because of happiness. Where's the prayer? That's not that. You don't think like that. If you think like that, you get benefit, but you're not able to think like that, you know, at that moment. You're thinking, how dare you're eating my fruit? It's just squirrel, you know, it's just squirrel. Squirrel don't say anything, just eating the fruit. And it gets worse when you see the piece of fruit in his mouth. They are much, much physically, much faster than yourself. You can chase, you can climb trees like them. But the mind, you know, then you just, so I did use, so I have to admit, I used horse to chase them. Didn't help. I waste my water, probably that probably, amount of bill probably increased a little bit, because they were just squirrels, like minute on the little trees, they're still looking like how to get them down. This method that I use to be happy is actually the wrong method to be happy. It all makes me more, you know, like suffering. So once in a while, then I just sit there and I think twice and say, okay, doesn't matter, whatever, just, you know. Not like, wow, so happy, just not like that. But sometimes I just stop and I don't chase them. I say, I just let it go, you know, just one piece of fruit, you know. So I think things differently. Okay, they are not, you know, they are just here to eat fruit. You know, they are not here to how to make money to sell the fruit, you know. It's not like that, it's just eating them. Then, you know, different thought, it helps me to let it go. Not easy. Whenever there's a problem, we heavily rely on negative state of mind. That's why we lose happiness. Huh? Then, you know, reading the chapter number 6, then not just reading, then thinking, you know, that's just thinking. Then eventually you become quite good. You've been thinking. No matter what kind of circumstance, I will never ever let any opportunity to anger to rise. I will watch very carefully. I will watch and I will guard my mind all the time. Much as possible. That is a meditation. Why? Because it is reducing anger. It is reducing the amount of anger that you experience. It's kind of reducing them. So bottom line here, more positive thought, our lives are going to be better off. More negative thought, no matter how much money you have, what kind of education you have, what kind of title you possess, millionaire, you have no peace of mind. You have no peace of mind. See? A lot of people, rich people, they are doing drugs, not because they are very, very happy. You know? Sorry to say. It doesn't matter. When there's anger, equally destroyed all of us, not just, you know, you, because you are not monk. Oh, he is monk. Anger is not destroyed. That's not true. Equally, from Pope to newborn baby, from Dalai Lama to newborn baby, equally, anger destroyed equally, every one of us. Doesn't matter, educated, not educated, believing, not believing, doesn't matter. When anger arises, you are completely destroyed. Oh. Siddhanta is a large jump. So then now, you know, Siddhanta Sumusam Chana. Anger is considered as a pain. Pain. It is pain. It is not pleasure, it's pain. Shedang, sumu means pain. Sim means mind. Painful mind. What is that? That's anger. Anger is painful mind. If you harbor that, Shedang, sumu, same chana. I'm quoting the same book from chapter number 6. Yini shiwa nyami nyung so. You will not experience peace of mind. Even though you are like cardinal, pope, monks, like very high title, you have no peace of mind. Because you harbor the painful mind, what is called anger. So that's the Muslim China, there will be no peace in the mind, there will be no physical happiness or mental happiness, both. You lost both of them. Nimi was not able to sleep. They may just lose, like, the ability to judge, So, then another quote, there's the same book, chapter number 6, there's many, you know, there's dense information how to challenge this painful mind, There's many as a statement or information. So, so that's the ultimate goal of Buddhism. The meditation is to liberate ourselves from the disturbing thought. Less disturbing thought, life is going to be better. Health is going to be better. Health is going to be better. Life is going to be better. More negative thought, there's a lot of complications in the health. Or imbalance in the health, of course, then mind, you know, is not happy. Getting upset with not fulfilling the wish. Getting upset is not, make sense? Getting upset is not, will not fulfill the wish. Wish can be, oh, going there, or eating this, you know, or putting this here, somebody puts it here, you get upset, it's not going to move here. You have to move, or somebody has to move. Because you are not happy if somebody moves here. But getting upset is not going to fulfill the wishes. What does it mean? It means it won't go here. That's what it means, you know. Not just that, no peace of mind. Not just that, no peace of mind. Therefore, Santidava says, if there's something you can do while you get upset, you just do. If there's nothing you can do, why you get upset? There's nothing you can do. When you read the chapter number 6, you will find exactly where what I quoted. You'll find it in the books. This book is written in 8th centuries, many centuries ago. Even then, people have problems with anger, negative mind, disturbing thought. Not just us. All this century, people have struggled with disturbing thought. So then you learn, okay, now I really study the downside of anger and I study the benefit of patience. It's nothing to do with religion. It's just, you know, to make my mind peaceful. You know, just make sure that I don't get, you know, There is no destructive emotion like anger. There's no practice like patience. The best patience, no? Therefore, there's no practice like patience, even though there's so many different types of practice, but the practice of patience is the best. No? There's no like destructive emotion like, only I'm saying somebody?
I have a
question. Yeah.
sure I have this all the way up. So is there ever an opportunity or time when you can use anger for good? Like, I just think right now in the climate that we're in, people are very angry and standing up for others. And so when I think of, like, you know, even in the fourth immeasurable with abide in equanimity, mm-hmm. well, when I see that others are not treated that mm-hmm. way, I get angry. And then I wonder, you know, is that coming from a good place where I can stand up for somebody else or help somebody else because of how others are treating them?
Mm. So, any contributions? Yeah, oh, there's a lot of contributions. Good, yeah, please. Yeah, contribute. I will definitely say, I will say something, okay? I will say something, but yeah, very good, yeah.
Okay, I'd like to add to that too, right? I feel like every time lately when I read the news, I get really angry. Just like, there are a lot of things that every time I look for a news update, I'm angry. But then I try to calm down about it, but then I don't feel right not being angry about a lot of the things. Like when I see how unfairly some people are being treated, it doesn't feel right not to be angry about it. So I'm really struggling with that lately too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please, yeah, there's a lot of contributions. That's very good, yeah.
Yeah, I think that you can stand up for injustice without having the anger behind it. Mm. I think that you can be proactive in how you feel about the injustice, but leave the anger behind. Mm. I think that studying here and coming here has definitely helped me to take my feelings down a notch to where I feel I can accomplish that in a better way.
Very good. Wonderful.
Boy, have I been angry lately. Yeah. I don't think that when I want to help other people, let me step back. Boy, have I been angry lately. With what's going on politically, when I feel my anger, but then I have a thought that I want to go march to help, or give money to help, or talk to people to help, that's not coming from my anger. My anger may be there, but it's coming from love.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't only have one thought at the same time.
Yeah,
so when I'm if I were acting out of anger, I'd be punching someone in the face.
Right.
Okay, no, I mean that. If I acted out of my anger, it would be, it would be ugly. But when I also have the thought of helping someone, I know it's coming from a different thought or feeling, and that's love. So I don't know if anger can do anything positive. I think it's the love and the awareness and the calming of myself that I then give assistance or help to other people.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I say something?
Sure. Anybody can say something. Yeah.
I often get angry due to politics, and of course, I've noticed if I respond in anger to something, the other person stops listening, and I feel worse. So likely the other person won't listen because they're angry. However, I feel better if I just leave it alone or do something positive. If I can do that, it helps me, and I can keep going on.
Well, this is a very important topic for me because I have been extremely angry as I have never been in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the reason why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
When I see the trees cut mercilessly, when I see the animals dying on the road, when I see Trump doing all the things that he's doing with the environment, with other people, I cannot stop my anger. I would like to. My philosophy is that if there is the emotion of anger, there must have to be some use for it. Now, that said, I don't feel good when I'm angry, but it motivates me. That anger motivates me incredibly, pushes me passionately to help the trees, to help the animals, to help whatever is being hurt by others. So, but it is doing harm to me because I feel it. So in my process, the process of motivating me to do something good, I went back to graduate school to be able, I'm an environmentalist, and I went back to graduate school to do, you know, to help wildlife, to help the trees, to help everything that I can possibly do. But in the process of doing that, I feel that I am, that something is not right. And so I don't know how to balance between anger that is propelling me to do something good and me feeling not good about feeling that anger. So I don't know how to do this. When you're talking about being angry for little things, that is not my case. I don't deal with little things that, you know, are absolutely non-important. But when there is something like this, when I did a study, you know, as part of my thesis, I did a study where I had to go on the road on a roadkill. You know, I had to see all these, did the study on roadkill, and I had to see these animals where I had to, some of them died in my arms. And I had to do this study for a year. This angered me and angered me and angered me to the point of no return. And it has done good things, though, because I have been able to do all these, I have helped animals, I have helped the trees, I helped the person next door to me stop cutting my trees because I intimidated three men. I mean, it was pretty nasty. I mean, a little woman intimidating three tall men, that's very, and I thought, whoa, I can do this. And so, but maybe there's another way. This is the reason I'm here. I needed to say this.
Thank you.
I used to deal with anger. I still do, you know. And for me, like you were saying, my anger usually comes either from an attachment, a desire, or my need to control, right? And it comes from fear, basically, my fear not to be able to control something. So what do you do with fear, right? Fear, I mean, you can't really get rid of fear, right, when you're scared of something. But if you maintain a good integrity, right, you have courage. Now, you take your fear and you turn it into courage, right? Now, when you're angry and you're trying to stay out of the moment, basically control things that you can't really control, like politics, for example, you know? The guy's there already, you know? Whether you agree with him or not, we're all Americans, right? We need to respect the position. You understand? That way, we can unite as a people, right? And, you know, talk our differences out, not kind of get angry at one another because of something you can't really control at this point, you know? How do you control that? You don't let your anger grip your intelligence. You vote, right? You talk to your congressman. You write petitions. You do something with your anger. Well, I don't even really consider it anger. It's intelligence. You know, you're going to have this anger maybe, you know? None of us are perfect, you know, and you have anger. You have to be a little bit self-compassionate with yourself when you have that anger, right? How do you do that? You have compassion for other people, for the people that you're angry at, right? And you practice all these principles. You work on compassion, self-compassion, because in the end, it helps your integrity. It helps who you are, you know, and makes you a better person, you know, by doing so. But letting your anger, it's practice. You know, I get angry all the time. I don't know. With meditation, you kind of physically feel before you start getting emotionally angry. You start physically feeling your, you know, the gut thing, and you're like, wait a minute, it's coming. So you get into the moment when that happens, and you work your way from there. That's been my experience.
One thing that really helped me with the current situation is to remember the small victories, like in Washington, the federal judge, and the impermanence of the situation. It's highly possible he's gone in 4 years, and if you keep focusing on that, what can be done to fix whatever happened, sometimes it makes it easier to swallow.
Me? Okay. Yeah. I agree with him wholeheartedly. I don't think anything good can come from anger ever. especially in a sense of politics or rights or anything like that, because all it does is manifest itself, and you start acting out of your anger, and like riots or fights or all this stuff starts happening, and the media perpetrates it too. They perpetrate the anger. They don't ever show the good in anything, and you just have to, like he said, turn anger into something else. Turn it into something good. You can't do something good from anger. You can turn anger into something else, I think.
Okay. My question is for you, Geshe-la. I think we have the greatest teacher in dealing with political anger in His Holiness. Mm. I mean, if anyone should be angry, it should be him. And he would understandably be angry for his people that he represents. And I know he's spoken about having compassion for the Chinese as people, as a government. And I know it's also, like you said, it's impermanent, and the seeds of karma made these issues happen, is the Buddhist, my Buddhist understanding of it. Mm. Do you have any insight into how the Dalai Lama deals with, I guess, the anger he and compassion he feels for his people? I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, I pray for X's Chinese leader, you know, this man to be enlightened or to change. But how does he deal with the pain, knowing his people are in pain? And knowing he doesn't have an army, he doesn't have, you know, not in his lifetime, it seems, unless there's radical change. Is the situation with China and Tibet going to change? So how does he deal with the cost of the toll that it's taking on his people? Thanks.
Anybody else want to say something?
Oh, sure. I've dealt with a lot of anger, and it had to do with control. Mm. And since I've been here, I've learned different techniques on how to deal with that. And even in the past year, it's been really hard. And what I've learned is, it's going to sound funny, but faith. it's a Christian term, I know, but I have faith in myself that I'm going to keep doing the right thing. I have faith in other people that with all the turmoil that's going on here, that we will change things in the next few years because we were complacent and we let this happen. So now we won't be complacent. And I see a lot of people getting up and doing things that have been very positive, and I'm looking at those positive things, and I'm trying to stay away from the media. So I have faith that I can do things locally, and I'm working locally to do my part in changing things. So every time I hear something new that can get me angry, I just redirect it to something that, what can I do? Because I can't do anything about what he says or does, so what can we do locally? So that's what I've done to help with my anger and redirecting it into something positive.
Anger is a tough one for me. There's a lot of little things that I find myself getting really agitated and worked up about, especially in, like everyone is talking about today, in the environment that we live in today. Sometimes the best I can do is just turn the radio off. You know, NPR is my source of news. And I've found myself the last couple of weeks going to work angry, being shorter with people. The last couple of days I've turned the news off. And you know what? I'm a firm believer in garbage in, garbage out. And when the garbage is not going in, I feel like I've been a better person just the last couple of days. And that's all I can do at this point. So I think I've made some progress just by turning the news off until I'm ready hopefully one day I'll be ready to transform that anger into something positive.
Yeah, that positive for everybody who is contributing, positive for everybody.
I find when we talk about anger, it's helpful for me to kind of go back to the original Buddhist definition of anger, kind of, you know, to exaggerate the negative qualities of something and wish harm upon it. And I think that gets at kind of the complications that arise with anger, is it necessarily kind of detaches you from a sense of reality, and from that detachment from reality, this is where that suffering arises. And I know for me, I also kind of have the habit of mind of kind of throwing the label of anger on a whole range of different emotions. So I could be looking at something and kind of anger at injustice and wanting to express compassion, and then that kind of energy, I just kind of think of it as anger, but it's not all anger. Just the anger is just that part that's exaggerating the negative qualities of something and wishing harm upon it. Those other mental factors that are arising, that love, those compassion, that's what I try to focus on, and that's what I try to use to kind of direct my actions. So.
I think from a simplistic thing, anger is like a canary in a coal mine that everybody, it rises up in all of us. Like with the squirrels, when the anger rises, you're not just angry at the squirrel, but the anger is telling you that you're angry because of something else. And what is it? Because maybe you have greed for the persimmons. You want the persimmons and you don't want somebody to take it. So anger is like, it's a sign that you have to look more deeply. And so you wouldn't just sit there and go, oh, I'm just angry at those squirrels. I hate those squirrels. And then, which some people do. And then for, you know, you always hate squirrels. But if you use anger as an education to see it, like if you're with fire and pain, if you have pain because you touch something hot, it's not that pain is good, but it's good to use pain, because if you touch something hot, you'll burn your hand. And I think anger is the same thing. It's a good signal. And so in that sense, it's not that anger is good, but it's good if you look at the source of it, because it'll show you something.
So when I think about the anger, I mean, that I've been feeling also lately for many of the reasons that others have talk about earlier, I think about forgiveness too, because every time this anger that I have felt at some point, it made me think back in the definition of forgiveness, that we need to accept forgiveness, that we need to accept that the past, that something has happened to us, that something happened, and that we need to let go the hope that it could have been different. It happened, and it doesn't mean that it's okay. It means that we need to think about it in the light of positiveness. And that now, as others were saying, it's about what do we do about it now? Like, what can we change now? But when I think that way, the anger goes away. And so there's that thing I wanted to say. And I think the other thing I wanted to say also, that when I look at my own life, I have grown significantly when things have gone really bad, like the worst times in my life. I have grown so much. So when I think of the current situation, political situation where we're in, I truly believe, and I don't know if it's faith, that's what someone else was saying, that we're going to grow so much out of this situation, and that perhaps we needed it. It's like sometimes when things happen to us and they're so bad, and I've been in situations like that where things have been so bad, and then when I look back 2 years after, I'm like, oh my God, if that wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't be where I am right now. I learned so much from that. So I like to think that just like that has been my life, that's going to be the life or the situation where I'm going to be thinking about this perhaps 4 years from now and see, look how much we have grown. And here we are. We're doing better. I guess that's what I wanted to share.
I just wanted to add a story to exactly what she was speaking about. The best news I saw was recently an interview with a woman, young woman. She said, you know, I was an addict. She didn't say to what she was addicted, but she said, you know, I was an addict and I realized that I was really a wreck. But then, you know, when all of this happened with the election, I looked around and I said, oh my gosh, my country is a wreck too. I gotta get straight. And she checked herself into rehab. And she is now rehabilitated from her addiction, and she just said, thank you, Mr. Trump. So she completely turned her life around based on the fact that she realized other people needed her. And so that's, I think, a good lesson too, that we are needed. You know, we are needed to do positive things, not just for ourselves, but for all sentient beings. And that's how compassion often is played out in an action for another sentient being. Positive, that is.
I guess my question has more to do with things that are continuously happening. Just an example, like factory farming, something as hellish as that so many in our culture just turns a blind eye to. But it continues to happen day in and day out, day in and day out. And I don't want to be the type of person that just shuts that off, because the reality is that is happening right now as we sit here. And it continues to happen. And these sentient beings are suffering day in, day out, day in, day out. So when you see some sort of footage of something that happens, like, for example, in a factory farm, what are we to do with that? You feel sadness, you feel compassion, you feel empathy, but you also feel anger, because those are sentient beings. They're not things. They're sentient beings that have feelings. So my question, I guess, is when I see an image of a cow, you know, swinging upside down with its throat being cut, what am I supposed to do with that mentally? And I guess that's kind of my question.
Need to sit down, meditate. Too much to process. Thank you very much. Wonderful, you know, wonderful contribution. Thank you very much. A lot of things to think about. Sounds like everything's complicated. Very, very complicated. From issue from Tibet to all the way to environments, animals, peoples. Problem in individual lives, problem that relate to the whole world, you know, such as the environment, animals. Many causes and conditions. But compared to what happened in Tibet, it's not like that. What happened in Tibet is much more dramatic. You know, like whole countries upside down. Not just 1,000, 2,000, millions of people lost their life, you know. Millions of things been destroyed. Still, you know, it's difficult, you know, like not able to say what you like to say. Not able to say what you like, you can't say, you go to jail. You know, still that. Also, and individual right. Then all the environment inside Tibet, we have no control. We preserved them very well, you know, before 1950. Now, all the ground is big, a lot of trees been cut. Tibetan people can do nothing. So there's a couple of points I would like to express. You know, of course, that we stand for justice. Justice. In the Buddhist practice, there are ways to utilize anger into something good. That's why when you see this wrathful image, wrathful, you know, the statue, the painting, wrathful, they kind of express wrathful. How you say?
Wrathful.
Wrathful. They kind of, it's not just because they are there to scare you. No, they're kind of like there to, there's a way to utilize anger, but the primary intention has to be compassion. See, primary intention has to be compassion. Without compassion, anger cannot be utilized. So that's interesting that, you know, lady said, like, it motivates. Anger motivates to do good things. When it comes down on individual happiness, there will be no happiness, there will be no world happiness, community happiness, family happiness, if there's no individual happiness. There will be no happiness. We can talk about universal happiness, happiness in the world, in the country, but individual people don't have happiness, that's not going to happen. So when it comes down to individual happiness, anger is the poison. Anger destroyed that. So we all know, whether we are environmentalists, you know, we are all about animal rights, you know, equal rights for, we all know anger is, it destroys happiness. It's not about religion, it's not about, it's practically, it destroys happiness. So, His Holiness Dalai Lama probably studied this in the Guide to Buddhist Way of Life, not just study, teach and practice. So, that's where to utilize, that's your, you know, question that you raised, and then all people contributed that. Thank you very much. You know, so sometimes it's like, feel like hopeless. You know, wherever you look around, all these things happening, there's so little you can do, practically. As a Tibetan, last 6 decades, what happened in our country, how much I contribute, how much I can do, practically. You are talking about one of the more powerful nations who is like controlling the, you know, like the, that land. So it's not like, it's very complicated, it's very complicated. So we Tibetans don't believe, you know, like killing someone brings justice to our cause. That's why, you know, they just take their life instead of taking thousands of people. They can do it easily, you know. If they have that much courage to take their life, they can easily blow them up in the public place, kill thousands of Chinese. Why we are not doing that? Because we believe in karma. You know, it's not easy, you know, like, I sympathize with you, what you're going through, so, everything's happened in this country, so, you know, probably some of you are very angry, and I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say, you know, like, we have problems, as an individual person, we have problems, and then, like, there's no perfect countries. Wherever you go, there's all kinds of problems. Problems, you know, like, the gap between rich and poor, and, like, some part of the world, when you go there, the people there just make, like, 50 cents a day. Working all day long, physical labor, very hard. How much they make? They make 50 cents a day. They have family to feed. It's kind of complicated, you know, all the everything that we use, eat, where those things made, how they made, who made those things. So the problem is very complex and complicated. So many different causes and conditions are involved. Long time, not just not happened yesterday. It's been like that long, long time. So one thing that we all learned today, anger destroys happiness. When it comes down to your country, your cause for your own countries, environment, everything. Even there's in the Vajrayana practice, there's a way to utilize anger, but primarily motivation has to be compassion. Without that, you cannot utilize anger. So that's clear, that's very clear. Do you agree with me? Do you agree? Anger destroys your happiness. So then, you know, not watching news, probably that's a good idea, I think, you know, it's a very good idea. For a beginner, why you stick with the object that upset you so much, why you stick with that object? Better to avoid object. You will be more successful. What do you call here? Creating space. Creating space? That's good, you know, that's one of the Kabbalah Master says. You never when you move into this. If you avoid the object, your negative mind will deteriorate gradually. You stick there, and you know, like, when we think good, my point is when we think good, you feel good. When you feel good, more like you'll do good things. When you get angry, you don't feel good, you know. So then you let your anger to run the show. So there's so many people getting, you know, like, for treading the course, I just, you know, pray, I just pray, so then, here you can stand up, you can say something. There you cannot say it. If you say something, where you go to jail. Even though it's right, even though it's right, what you're saying is right thing. You are saying is don't cut tree, or don't dig on a mountain because it's precious. For us, this is for sacred. Don't, you go to jail. You know? So here you can say, because you live in freedom country, you can say, you know, and there you can say what you like. So as one lady, you know, she says, no, there's so many different causes of condition. It's not that easy. It's not easy to solve. Whatever is happening, happening based on reason. So there's no one answer that covers everything. There's no, unfortunately, there's no one answer. So as a Tibetan, we went through so much, also the West and American people, you give a lot of support, government, the people, everybody support, but still, a lot of problems. It's been not like 1 year, it's been like almost six decades. So, we stand up, we Tibetan stand for truth, stand up for truth, but we don't believe killing our enemy, we don't believe beating them. So that's why last 60 years we didn't kill any Chinese people, we didn't kill. So we are not going to, you know, harm them. That's not how we deep down, as a Tibetan, whole culture is deeply rooted in Buddhism. We believe in compassion, karma. That's what we believe, that's what His Holiness always encouraged. A lot of young Tibetan people, they are very, very angry, very upset, you know, whatever's happening, what happened, what's happening now. They are very angry. But we need to look down, far down, not just here. Far down. We are neighbor. We can separate, the land is connected, linked. We can just cut it up and bring it here, some put it here, Tibet. That'll be nice. Even though you kill a bunch of them, You should live side by side. How long? There are people, there are families, there are children, they have like grandchildren, and their children will get hurt because their family, someone will lose their family. How can you live peace by peace, side by side, many, many generations? It's impossible. So, Tibetan, you know, we just pray, and you know, sometimes a lot of young people, they just sick of praying. Very understandable, very understandable. Huh? So, I'm not sure like what the lady said. No, if anger motivates to do something good, so maybe next time the police, you should say something. If you feel like to say something more, please contribute. No, that's interesting. If the anger motivates you to do something good, then I was told you from the Vajrayana teachings, there's a way to utilize anger, but primarily motivation has to be compassion. So now, that is the motivation, according to Vajrayana teaching, that's the motivation of, you know, utilize the anger. The primary motivation is compassion. So now, when she says anger motivates, what do you think? So maybe time to run out, maybe now. Maybe next Sunday we'll have more discussions. And thank you very much for each one of you who contributed here to discuss. But my conclusions, no matter what, not my conclusions, according to Shantideva books. Whenever I have a problem in my mind, I rely on that book. I read that book and I think about that book. It helps me greatly. So that book concludes, anger is painful mind. Whoever possesses, there will be no peace of mind. If you think about that, you can come up with your own conclusion, is that true? Then you know, that is what we are. What I said according to that book. I'm not saying that you should not get angry, it's totally up to you. I'm not here making decisions. I'm just sharing my thoughts on like the purpose of meditation to reduce or minimize disturbing thoughts. So less disturbing thought, we are going to be better off. Okay? Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, sorry, it took a long time, so because of all this.
So in the Gold Essential Buddhist Prayer Book, turn to page 246. And we'll read the dedication prayer from the Indian scholar that Geshe-la quoted, Master Shantideva. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then, may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Just a couple of quick announcements. Next weekend we will have Venerable Amy Miller visiting, and she's going to be teaching on how to awaken our fully opened heart. So teaching about bodhicitta. So that should be a very exciting weekend. She'll be here Friday evening, all day Saturday. She'll teach our Sunday morning teachings that we'll have, and then she'll continue the workshop in the afternoon. And then we have a holiday coming up in a few weeks, Losar, which is Tibetan New Year. We'll be celebrating here in 3 weeks. And one part of Losar frequently is doing Tibetan folk dancing, and Geshe Sangpo has very kindly offered to teach some dances. I think he's here. So we'll be sticking around here to do that this afternoon. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi everyone, I'm Arlene and I am the bookstore manager here. I'm needing some volunteers to help run the cash register at the bookstore. We are open a half hour before and a half hour after our Sunday teachings, and we're open on Monday and Tuesdays a half hour before and a half hour after our classes. So if there's anybody who might be interested, I'd appreciate you getting in touch with me, or you can tell Jill you want to speak with me, our center manager. She's not here today. And anybody who's nervous about running a cash register, it's a really simple process here. I was freaked out about doing it, but found out it was pretty simple. So anybody interested, just please let me know. And come visit our bookstore. We're getting some new stuff in all the time, and in the next couple of months, we're having some very big orders coming in. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful weekend.